Amen and good morning, church family. We want to welcome you to worship this morning here at Prestonwood. For those of you joining us online, we want to extend a word of welcome to you as well. We're so glad to be in worship together with you this morning. And this morning we mark a special season in the life of our church. Really all around the world this morning, Christians everywhere are marking the beginning of the Advent season. Advent, of course, meaning coming or arrival. This is the season where Christians now, for generation after generation, have celebrated the birth of the Lord Jesus, commemorating that special first Christmas when Jesus came to the earth, God with us, Emmanuel. And so this morning we reflect, we remember, and we rejoice the coming of the Christ child who would grow to be the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, taking away the sins of the world. The prophet Isaiah, in speaking of the coming of the Lord Jesus, puts it this way in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He says, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." That's what Advent really is all about, the God of peace coming in the flesh to come and love us and redeem us back to himself. Now, for generations, Christians have gathered around the Advent wreath, and you'll notice ours this morning is the beautiful evergreen here in a circle representing the endless and eternal light of Christ. And over the next several weeks, for these four Sundays, we'll be lighting a different candle each Sunday. Now, this morning I have with me Don and Suzanne Gilmore and Rix and Sally Tillman, faithful members here at our church. And at this time, we're now going to light the green candle. The green candle represents faith. Our faith this morning that Jesus is who he says he is. Our faith that Jesus did come, he was born, he did live, he was sinless, he was sacrificially giving his life on the cross. And his death, burial, and resurrection this morning remind us of the goodness and the nearness of God. That if we put our faith and our hope and our trust in the Lord Jesus, that we can know him now and forevermore in heaven. And so this morning we rejoice, we remember, we consider the arrival and the coming of the Lord Jesus now and again one day for those of us who believe. And in this Advent season, we rejoice in the faith we have in the Lord Jesus today. Would you pray with me? Father, as we begin our services this morning, we want to stop and we want to thank you because we know we can trust you and we can believe you are who you say that you are. You are the Wonderful Counselor. You are the Mighty God, and you are the Prince of Peace. I pray that your peace would reign over our hearts and our minds this morning, and your joy would fill our hearts and our voices this morning as we sing and raise worship to you. May all that we do and say in this service and this day bring you glory. And Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.
Welcome to Prestonwood. Come on, would you stand with me? We can have a hope and a joy this morning because of what Jesus has done for us. So we're going to worship him. Come on, put your hands together. Let's sing this with confidence this morning. We sing.
I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. Resurrection power, but the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Oh, my praise belongs to you forever.
Here we go.
This is my testimony from death to life, 'cause his grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the
him up in one voice. Let's sing. I raise
a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a
louder. Prestonwood families, how's it going? We have an 8-year-old and a 65-year-old saying yes to Jesus in baptism. How about that? We've got Caroline Perkins right here. Caroline, have you trusted in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, sweetie?
Yes.
Awesome. Upon that profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Douglas Leslie. God has saved and changed him. He is an incredible testimony. Saving him from addiction. Praise God for that. Here we go. Let's cross our arms, brother. All right. Douglas, have you trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Upon that profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bury with Christ in baptism and newness of life.
Amen and amen. If you'd take a seat for me. Church, let us never tire of the life change that we get to see each and every week. Well, I hope you had a blessed and restful holiday season. Happy Thanksgiving to you. And now that Thanksgiving is in the rearview mirror, we can all officially turn on the Christmas music. Yes? Absolutely. If you're with me, we had to wait until right afterward. Well, my name is Jason Snyder, and I serve here at Prestonwood as the Minister of Spiritual Development, and it is my great joy to welcome you to our worship service this morning. And on behalf of our pastor, Dr. Jack Graham, and all of us here at Prestonwood, we want to thank you for joining us and a welcome specifically to you. If you're joining us online today from around the world, we're glad that you're here, and we hope that you're sensing the presence of God right where you are this morning. And if you're a guest with us this morning, we want to know that you're here. And so if you would do us a favor and text GUEST to 74788, that will record your visit for us, but also give us the ability to reach out to you and ensure that you feel welcome. Or you can go to Guest Central in the atrium immediately following the service. We've got a gift and one of Pastor's books that we want to put in your hand to take home. Well, there's so much going on in the life and ministry of our church, and we want to make sure that you stay informed on those events, ministry, and service opportunities, and you can find out about all of that in the Prestonwood today. So hopefully you were able to pick one up as you walked in. If not, you can text GUIDE to 74788, and we will send you a digital copy because we want to ensure that you stay up to date on all that's happening here at Prestonwood. I want to draw your attention to one particular thing in the Prestonwood today, and that is our Christmas tree lighting festival that's going to be happening this Wednesday evening from 5 to 8 p.m., and we want to ensure that you're inviting your coworkers, your neighbors, and your friends to come and begin the holiday season with us. Well, there's so much more yet to come this morning. We've got more worship and a powerful message from our associate pastor, Neil Jeffrey. Everybody say hello to Neil. We're glad that you're here, Neil. We look forward to hearing from you this morning. But I'm sure you've noticed we've made a few changes up here, and that is because Gift of Christmas is coming. And so turn your attention to the screens for an update from our pastor.
The Gift of Christmas is back, and you're not going to want to miss this year's performance. We have new content in the second and the third act, great new music. It's going to be better than ever, I promise you. So don't miss this and get your tickets as soon as possible.
Experience the excitement. Experience the magic. Experience the wonder. Prestonwood presents The Gift of Christmas. For showtimes and tickets, visit PrestonwoodGOC.org.
Would you join us in standing as we continue to worship this morning? As we worship a God who sent his Son to save us. That's why we celebrate. Listen.
In the bleak midwinter, all creation groans, for a world in darkness, frozen like a stone. Light is breaking. Stable for a throne.
Sing name above all names.
Oh, you are name above all names. You're worthy, worthy of all praise. Oh, my heart will sing, how great is our God. Oh, sing name above all names. You are
thing Mike told me on the way up was those steps are really steep, so don't fall. And I almost fell. But hey, it's great to be here. Thanks all of our musicians. I'm so grateful for them for our worship. And it's great to see you today, everybody. Glad you're here. I'm thankful for a lot of things, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach. And I'm thankful that you came and I got somebody to preach to. That's always a delight. And it's really neat just to be kind of up here, kind of close, and kind of, this is different, but it's kind of cool. And I'm honored to get to preach today. I am Anil Jeffrey, and I always kind of feel obligated. And of course, those of you who've been around, you've heard me say this a thousand. I say this every time I speak, but I am a stutterer, just so you know. It just means I stutter. And I'm actually a pretty good stutterer. I do it well. And it's sometimes wonderful, and it's a whole lot. Sometimes it's not so much, but you never know. But you just, it. The one thing I've discovered it's always done for me is it's hard to get too cocky as a stuttering preacher. Because you just never know. And you know, I'm not that good. I know I can't do this. And it just reminds me how much I need the Lord. And of course, anything that reminds me all the time how much I need the Lord Jesus, that's a good thing. And we rejoice and celebrate that. 1 Thessalonians is where we're going to be today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, we're doing a little message on making Thanksgiving great or something like that. Thanksgiving is great. Be a great Thanksgiving, whatever. And I was actually working on this message, and I was telling some people what I was going to preach this weekend. They said, "Oh, hey, nobody cares about Thanksgiving anymore. It's over. It's done. We're past it. We're going to Christmas." And it made me think. And then I saw a preacher the other day at a wedding, and he's, "Oh, you don't do a Thanksgiving message. That's over. That's done. That's gone." So I was just kind of panicked and started looking at some other messages and things, and maybe I shouldn't do that. And I said, "You know, actually, I didn't have anything else, and so I'm doing this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. And I'm also going to use another little passage as well in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, 16, 17, and 18. And that will kind of permeate through the whole message. But what's happening here in 1 Thessalonians is Paul had been there on one of his missionary journeys, and he actually was only there for 3 weeks, but he preached three Sabbaths. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and a bunch of people got saved, just trusted Jesus and just changed. And so out of that, he started this little church. And this church is growing, but the reason he only stayed 3 weeks was he was persecuted, and religious leaders wanted him out of there, and they didn't want the gospel of Jesus Christ being shared, and so he had to leave, and so he left, and so he goes to other stuff, and he writes them a little. Well, the first he's concerned about them because he just wants to make sure in the midst of all the tough times they're experiencing, all of the hardships, the attack on this young church and these new believers in the midst of this ungodly world around them and this culture that was so anti-Christ, anti-the-church, anti-this, and just all of that. He was hoping and praying that they were standing strong, but he didn't know. So he sends Timothy to encourage them, and he gets the word back from him that, hey, they're doing good. And so he's rejoicing. So he writes this little prayer almost in 1 Thessalonians 3, 8 through 13, that just to remind them just to be encouraged. And his ultimate prayer is that they would be what verse 13 says. Look at verse 13 of this. That he, God, may establish your hearts blameless in holiness. That's a great phrase right there. That God, hey, to Christian, in the midst of all this struggles, all this tough times, all of this, that God would establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of his saints. He's going to say four things in this thing to encourage. That's the fourth one, established holiness. The first one is going to be, just so you know, and then I'll read the passage, is going to be a joyful thanksgiving. That's how you keep on keeping on. You be thankful. You be grateful. Have a spirit, an attitude of gratitude. Second, he's going to say that you have an earnest prayer, you pray. And 30 is going to say, you are bound in love. You grow. He's going to actually use a phrase there, to increase and to abound in love. And then fourth, to be established holiness. Here's what he says. And as he said, now just so, I wasn't going to do this, but let me just read, starting in verse 2, just so I can see what I just said was true. And I didn't make it up. Chapter 3, verse 2, Paul writes this. He says, so he sent Timothy to you, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to exhort you in the faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. He said, we all got afflictions. We all got tough times. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a challenge. You're going to have obstacles. You're going to have good. You're going to have bad. You're going to have ugly. But he wants to establish them in the faith to be strong. Then he says this, for you yourselves know that we are destined for this. These things, it's just the signs of the times. It's just where we live. It just is what happened amongst us. Verse 4, so when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand, we will suffer affliction. There's going to be tough times. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a challenge. Just as it has come to pass and just as you know this is true. All of us are going through something. All of us got struggles. All of us got challenges. All of us got all of this. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, he says, I sent Timothy to learn about your faith for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our faith would be in vain. So verse 8, he hears from Timothy, and he says this, for now we live because you are standing fast in the Lord. Then verse 9, these are the four things he says. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God? That is joyful thanksgiving. And then verse 10 says, for as we pray most earnestly night and day, we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And this is the third one, abound in love. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, everyone, as we do for you. And then the fourth one, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with the saints. And then chapter 5, verse 16, 17, 18, three verses we've all heard 1,000 times. Verse 16, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He says, first of all, this joyful thanks, forgive me. We're going to keep on keeping on. We're going to be strong in the Lord. We're going to learn and discover that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you know, we have a reason to be thankful, to be grateful, and to have a joyful thanks given in the midst of things. These are two great words there, joy and thankfulness. Of just having a joy that produces thanksgiving and a thanksgiving which produces joy. And you know what? The Christian life is to be a life of joy. It is to be fun. It's to be life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The joy of the Lord, Nehemiah says, is our strength. It's just the angel of the Lord. You know, Christmas is coming, and the angel of the Lord, when he announced the birth of the Messiah to the shepherds, you remember he said, the glory of the Lord shone round about, and they were so afraid, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, that he will be for all the people, for unto you this day, and this is the reason there's joy, there's born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We used to sing a hymn when I was a little kid. We never sing this hymn, but I love this thing. The title was Jesus Saves, or I've heard, but the first line of that old hymn was, I have heard a joyful sound. You know what the joyful sound is? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. It's all about joy. We rejoice and to be glad. It's what Jesus said in John 15, 11. Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that your joy, listen to this, that your joy may be full, and that my joy may be in you, he says, first of all, and that your joy will be full. The gospel is all about the joy of the Lord. It's just life. It's just fun. It's just thrilling just to know Jesus is in our heart. But he also says, hey, and this is rejoice always. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Always rejoice. Even in hard times, in struggles, even in challenges. That's right. James 1:2-4 says, that, listen to this. It says, count it all joy when, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full result, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We rejoice and we're full of joy because we know the struggles we go through, the tough times, in the end, if we're joyfully thankful in the midst of all of that, we're going to be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. 1 Peter 1:6-7 says this, in this you rejoice. Another great joy will, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, but know so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold which perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in the end to the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Job 23:10 says this, he knows the way I take, and when he has tried me through it all, he says, I shall come out as gold. There's a joy in this thing, which leads us to being grateful and thankful. We are thankful as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, for what we have, for what we know, and for who we are in Christ. And we are to be thankful. We're to rejoice always and give thanks for anything and all things in every circumstance. You know why? Because that's what we owe God. Because, you know, in one sense, everything comes from God. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. It's also, it's God's will for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, this is God's will for us, that we give thanks and all. And it's the best way to live. A grateful, thankful person is a happier person. There's a joy that results from all of this. It's a joy in us. It's a joy in others through us. And Paul says specifically, he says this. Look what he says in this in verse 9. He says three things he says real quick. He said, for what thanksgiving we can be thankful for it as we return to God, that's one. For you, that's two. And for all the joy that we feel for your sake. He's actually saying this, I am thankful for God and all that he represents. I'm thankful for you and all those around me. And I'm also thankful, he says, for what God is doing in your lives. I want to look at those three things. God, you and others and people, and what he's doing in our lives, which is the reason why we can rejoice evermore and give thanks to first God. You know what? I got this little thing from something. I was looking at this this deal that, hey, things to be thankful for no matter what. You can always be thankful for the grace our God has shown us. You can always be thankful for the plans he has for us. You can always be thankful for the promise he has to never leave us. You can always be thankful for the changes he's making in us. You can always be thankful for the home he is preparing for us. That's kind of good. But I started thinking about that and just making a list about listen to all these things about God, which we have to be thankful for. I'm wrapped up in our God based on the word of God. You know, our God, we can be thankful that our God is sovereign. He's Lord. That nothing happens by chance. That God causes all things to work together for good for his children. That hard times reveal our weaknesses, our need of Jesus. It breaks our pride and it shows us we can trust him. Thankful that God has triumphed over sin and death. Death has been swallowed up in victory through Jesus Christ. That God causes, uses the worst, which happens in our lives to make us more like Jesus and help us go up in the faith, that God is faithful, even when we are faithless, that God's word will be vindicated. God's promises are true. Evil will not reign forever. Heaven is real. This world is not my home. I'm going there. That we can be thankful that when I'm weak, he is strong, that his grace is sufficient for every situation I find myself in, that nothing can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord, that our salvation rests not on us. It rests on him who's done everything for us. Give thanks that there's no pit so deep that the love of Christ is not deeper still, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, that God delights to save sinners. That's why he came, left heaven, and came to earth, that the Lord can soften even the hardest heart. We can be thankful that there's no impossible cases with God. He can do anything. He can do everything. That even when we feel alone, we are never alone. He's always with us. He never leaves or forsakes us. That God will not test us beyond what we can bear. That the Holy Spirit is always with us. That the Lord Jesus knows. And this is an amazing list. That the Lord knows. It feels our pains. That the Holy Spirit prays for us when we're too weak to pray for ourselves. That the Lord Jesus intercedes on our behalf at the right hand of the Father. That God uses everything. He wastes nothing. That our doubts cannot cancel God's work in us. That someday we will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That God is faithful to finish his work in us, which he's began. That our hardships equip us to minister to others, that we are invited to come boldly to the throne of grace, receive help and mercy in time of need, that his plan exceeds all of our understanding and expectations, that the weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning, that there is still God's, we are still his children, even when our faith falters, and though we suffer outwardly, inwardly, we are being renewed day by day, and we have a shepherd, praise God. We shall not want to praise God, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, praise God. Though, here's the point. Now, why did I read all that? You know, I made two more pages of those things. And I didn't want to take time because it took time to read all that stuff. Because I stuttered, I kind of botched the whole thing. But here's the point. Here's the point. As a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, those things, our God, though everything around us is changing, everything around us is a struggle, everything around us seems to be bad and ugly, the fact is, our God never, ever changes. And though everything here changes, nothing changes above us. Everything here may be up and down, good, bad, and ugly, but everything there is secure. Our God is in control. You know what? Here's the fact. Hey, all of us got sad circumstances. We all got struggles. We all got stuff. Times are hard. We can either complain and whine and worry about or rebel against God, and you know, we've all done that, or we can thank God that he is still on the throne, and God is too wise to make a mistake. He's too loving to be unkind. He's too powerful to be thwarted by anything. His plan will take place. It will happen. In all of this, God, even the greatest struggle of my life or your life, in all of this, God has some incredible lesson. He's teaching us in this thing. He has a glorious purpose for which he's going to accomplish in this thing. And there is something good he is going to do. I don't understand it. I can't explain it, but you know, it may be as simple as that old chorus we used to sing when I was a kid again. I'm going to understand it better by and by. One day I am going to know as fully as I know. You know what? It may be as simple as this. I'm not sure it is, but it may be as simple as this. You know what? This Thanksgiving, obviously, I mean, it was wonderful. And in my house, I mean, it was great. We were all together, all my kids, the grandkids. I mean, I just have everybody at your house at the same time. I mean, it's priceless. And we all gathered up. Of course, it was fun. It was joyful. And the first thing we did, as I'm sure most of us did, we just shook it up and held hands and had a prayer of thanksgiving. Just thank God for this whole thing. You know, I went around each kid and said, hey, I'm thankful for you. And each kid said, hey, I'm thankful for you. Hey, look at me. Hey, I'm thankful for you. I love you. I love you. Hey. Everyone, all 19 of them, the whole kids, everybody. And you know what? I got so much to be thankful for. I mean, I'm healthy, you know, just a whole, I got a house, I got, we had food, all of that. But see, here's the bottom line point in this whole thing about God. If I had none of that, if it was all gone and I lost everything and that happens to people. Even if you lose it all, ultimately I can look to Jesus Christ and realize I still have everything in my relationship. That's the point. Hey, times may be hard, but the fact is, you know what? I have everything He is in me. That's why He said, I'm thankful. And you know what? The two? He said, I'm thankful for you. Well, before I say that, you know what I want to say? First of all, I'm thankful for me. Now, I thought you'd applaud for that, maybe. But here's what I mean by that. As a lifetime stutterer, as a lifetime struggler, and I've shared this before, I've struggled all of my life never being thankful for me. I was never happy with who I was because I didn't like me. I didn't like the way I couldn't talk. I didn't like the way I stuttered. I didn't like the way I looked when I stuttered. Just struggled all of those things and just never wanted to be me, always wanted to be somebody else. That just never satisfied with who I was until I realized finally, you know, it took a lot of years. It took a lot of stuff, but ultimately I finally realized how awesome it is to be who Christ Jesus is in me. And in me, it's because of the struggle. James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy, but He's going to do something. And in result of that, if I respond in a joyful, thankful way, I'm going to be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You know how awesome it is to reach a point where all of a sudden I'm satisfied, I'm content, I'm rejoicing, I'm giving thanks for who I am. That's a glorious thing. And then you know what it says? It says you. Hey, I'm thankful for all of you. Hey, I got a list I was going to look. I'm thankful for Sheila. I'm thankful for I'm running out of time, but I'm not going to have time for this list. And I can't even find the list anyway. But a whole list of people I'm thankful for and so forth. But it's all that. But you know what else I'm thankful for? You and all of that. And church, I'm thankful for you. And you know what else I'm thankful for? You know, I thought of that. You know what? I'm thankful for my wife, Sheila, and I'm thankful for a church that I get to be a part of. And I'm actually on staff at this church. I spent, as a kid, as a stutterer, I didn't date much. I mean, I was so afraid of girls, and I was afraid. It's hard to be cool and stutter at the same time. You can't do it. It's impossible. And I struggled. I mean, I didn't date much, and I just assumed I'm never going to get married because I said there's not going to be a girl anywhere ever who would fall in love with a guy like me. I just were struggling. There's so many things, and to realize one day, you know, actually, when I met Sheila, I was supposed to have a date with another girl, and on Tuesday, and she calls me up and says, "My mother's sick and I got to go home to Abilene." And I'm thinking, "Oh yeah, sure, yeah." I was so depressed. I was such a struggle. I mean, I just said, but you know what? Since I didn't have a date, my roommate was dating a girl who had a roommate, set us up. That happened to be Sheila. And she was studying speech therapy. I mean, there's no way. It's perfect. I thought, there's no way it's going to happen to me. You know how thankful and grateful a guy is when he thinks this is never going to happen to me, and God gave it to me as a grace gift. You know how awesome that is? It's incredible. I got that. You know what else I got? I thought, I felt called to preach as a senior in high school, and I just assumed, you know, it's not going to happen to me because I couldn't talk. I couldn't say a silent prayer without stuttering. I couldn't say anything. I mean, how am I going to? There's no way. It's not going to be a place for me. I remember in seminary, I just struggled through seminary. And all these other guys who were starting to be preachers, and they were so good, so gifted, so they spoke so well. I was at a church over in Euless, and I used to stand in the invitation, and the guys would stand in front as ministers and just receive people, the invitation, like we're going to do in a minute or so, and just realizing that, hey, I'd love to be doing that. Well, you know what? I thought there's no way. God has a way. I am one of those guys now. You know how awesome it is to do that. And you know what else? It's just what God has done, is doing in my life. I look back over my life and see so many tough, sad, tragic, hard things that I didn't like, I didn't want to do. But now looking back over my life, I see a reason behind that. I see a purpose in that thing. I mean, it's just God, just to be thankful for all things, which is simply why. And you can say, why me? Which I said most of my life. Well, the answer to why me is because God has something he's going to do in your life. It's you. And he simply says, hey, Neil, Jeffrey, I've created you and chosen you for this assignment, and I'm going to do something in the greatest struggle of your life to accomplish my plan and purpose in your life. It's why me? It's why this? Because he said, this is the thing I'm going to do. That's the point. We rejoice and celebrate. We give thanks always. And it's that journey. I am thankful for the journey, because you know what? The journey may be as tough as it's been for me and maybe for you, but praise God, I'm thankful because that journey has led me here to this moment in time, and I give God praise. You know, I was thinking about that. A few weeks ago, I was in the new member room over there, and of course, people are making decisions. There was this guy, and I got assigned to him, and he just shared his whole story. I mean, it was an incredible story. I mean, he'd been through so much, and I kept hearing myself saying, man, I'm so sorry. Oh, man. I mean, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I mean, he went through the whole deal, just pain, hurt. And finally, I looked at him and said, man, I am so sorry. You know what he said? He looked at me and said this. Well, you know what? All of that brought me here. Amen. And here he got saved. You know, I was thinking about this. You remember the thief on the cross? There were two beside Jesus. One cursed Jesus. The other one simply said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember what Jesus said? Today, you're going to be with me in paradise. I bet you anything. Now, I don't know this, but I just wonder. I'm going to ask him when I get to heaven. Could he say, my whole life was a wreck. My whole life was a disaster. My whole life, pardon the expression, was hell. But I thank God for my whole life, because basically my whole life ended me up beside Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm going to be with him today in paradise. Here's the point. Man, we need to rejoice, not just sometimes, but all the time, with anything and everything, regardless. That's what the Bible says. It's God's will concerning us. Hey, joyful thanksgiving in everything and you know the pilgrims? First Thanksgiving. Now, of course, people are saying it didn't happen like this. I don't know how it happened, but I was told it happened after the first year. They stopped and thanked God. Half of that group died during that first year. They all suffered hardship. But the ones that were left stopped and they thanked God. You know what Jesus did? You remember this. Jesus in the upper room on the Last Supper. Remember, he takes the bread and the wine. And remember, he actually takes the bread. And he actually makes that amazing statement. This is my body broken for you. He's actually identifying this bread, this loaf, in that moment with what he's about to do, to be crucified on the cross. And the symbol of that, he breaks it. And then you know what he does next? He gives thanks. Rejoice always. Give thanks. A second now. My time is almost gone. I got 2, 3, and 4 still to go. And there's no way. But 2, 3, and 4 are awesome. Now, 2 is earnest prayer. Now look how he says, let me just read this. He says this, verse 10. As we pray most earnestly, and that's interesting. You can pray, or I guess you can pray earnestly, or I guess you can even pray most earnestly. That must be a whole nother level than just saying grace before a meal. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with saying, now lay me down the seat, I pray. Nothing wrong with any prayer, I guess. But Paul is saying, hey, there's a whole nother dimension in prayer. It's what Romans, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, pray without ceasing, pray all the time, anytime, always. Just never stop praying. It's just, there's nothing we go through in life, small, big, large, good, bad, ugly. There's nothing we go through in life that would not be improved by our saying a prayer, by just being in a constant relationship with Him. The opposite of that is just what happens when I leave God out. And obviously, you leave God out of the equation, out of your life. You don't get His peace. You don't feel His presence. You don't know His power in your life. You just don't have the wisdom, all of that. But we include Him in our life. In anything and everything, we experience God's blessing. And there are 5 things He prays for specifically, and we don't have time for these. Well, but first, He prays earnestly. I mentioned that. He prays night and day, it says, ceaselessly, without ceasing, all the time. And he says, in the verse, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. He wants to minister to them. He prays for them. He knows them well enough. He knows the struggles that they're having, the challenges in their life, the opposition in their life, the tough things in their life. And he simply says, you know what? I'm praying for them. He wants to be involved in their life. And he also says, and this is awesome, he says this. He prays this, that our God and Father Himself, the Lord Jesus, may direct our way to you, he says. Because you know what? Satan, and he actually says this in 2:18, that Satan had been hindering them, had been throwing up roadblocks in him coming to them and just causing a mess. And he said, you know, I'm asking God to, one, just defeat the enemy and to provide a way for me to come and minister you even when there appears to be no way. Now, that's a great prayer. That, hey, I am praying that He will do a God thing in your life is what he says. And then he's going to pray as well that, hey, God, I increase their love and may it abound and establish them. And that's a pretty good prayer. That's a good way to pray. It's a good way to do. You know what? Just this whole idea of praying, you know what, just to be reminded. It's going to be wonderful one day, maybe in heaven, just to know who all was praying for me the day I came to Christ. Maybe the ones who were praying for me when I finally found myself and what God wanted me to do in my life. Somebody who prayed and I was healed, or you were healed, or I was rescued in the middle of a challenging situation, or just said no to the wrong thing, or just didn't give up, or just made the right decision, or just experienced God's power, just to know somebody's praying for me. Paul prayed for them. We need to pray for one another just to have earnest prayer. And then a third, just abounding love, just to increase and grow in love. It's just a great phrase that may the Lord make you increase and abound in love. Just increase to go more and more as a man and woman of love who just love, and to abound in love, just to grow in such a way that it overflows. It dominates your life. It's just everywhere. You know, you can't have enough of the love of God in your life, through your life. That's why He wants us to grow in that and to experience. Now, you can have too much money. Now, I don't understand all of that but too much money, you know, can destroy, can be destructive. Too much power corrupts. Too much knowledge and education. You can be smarter and smarter and still not be wise. But God's love, the greatest power in the universe, He wants it to grow and to dominate, and because love, the Bible says about love, and this is just, this is Christian love, God's love, just 1 Corinthians, love, just love, it's right here, love, 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 love is. That's Romans. I had it pinned the wrong place. I'm sorry. Love is patient. That's perfect. Thank you for your love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It's selfless. Love is not irritable. It's not resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Love rejoices with the truth. Then an amazing statement says, love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. And then it says, love never fails. Now abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. What is going to change? What changed my life was the love of Jesus Christ. What's going to change the world is the love of Jesus Christ in a Christian, in a church that just shows through the world. And Paul makes that amazing statement, and I'm almost through. He makes that amazing statement, and he says this, increase and abound in love for one another. We've got to love each other well. I ought to love my family well. And for all, anybody and everybody, he says, that's the phrase he says there in the verse 12. As we do for you. He's actually saying, hey, I have been an example of Christ's love for you. And he actually says, you know, ultimately, the ultimate example and model of this, obviously, is Jesus' love. But Paul said, hey, I've seen this love. And now you've seen it in me. Now live in such a way that the world sees this love in you. Paul may have been referring to, we don't know this, but he may have been referring to the first time maybe he saw the love of Jesus and another human being. You know what? It might have been in Acts chapter 6 when Stephen, who was the first martyr of the church, he's on trial for his life for preaching Jesus, and he's about to be martyred. He's about to die for the faith. But in Acts 6, verse 15, it says, everybody who saw him on trial in that case said his face shone like an angel. He saw Jesus manifested in the life of another person. And then Paul was there when Stephen got stoned. And just they threw stones at him until he's dead. But he heard Stephen say out loud, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. He saw amazing supernatural love. He saw that in such a powerful way. It changed his life. Now he's saying that that's him. And it's who we ought to be, and it's how we ought to live. It's just, and then last, and the thing is just establish holiness. It's just, that's the victory. And that phrase there, that God may establish you and me, our hearts, blameless in holiness. Now, does that mean being perfect? No, it doesn't mean being perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect until Jesus comes. And when we see him face to face, we will be as he is, perfect. But until that day, it's not saying perfect. It's saying being everything God created you to be. You don't have to be like anybody. You just be you who God created you to be. And you know what? In Christ, you're perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. You just be faithful all the way to the end. If you're struggling with sin, hey, Jesus has provided a way. What do you do if you're struggling with sin? You confess. You repent. You know what he does? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all of them. You just stay in a right relationship with Jesus. You just keep on keeping on. You just keep, as you go through life and it just knocks you down. It's just struggle and it's a challenge. There's all those things. And what do? You rejoice always. You pray without ceasing. And you give thanks for anything and everything because at the end, bottom line, there is a victory. Jesus is coming back. It's 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. You know what? You may be struggling. You may be so sad you just can't stop crying. You may that the world isn't against you, but hey, Christian, look up. Because Jesus is coming back. And until he comes, our assignment is to be faithful to him. By being grateful, by praying, by loving, and by growing in holiness. You know, my dad died with a pancreatic cancer. And he had that surgery just before. That's a tough type to get. And he opted to have this surgery, and it maybe gave him another 6 months. But we didn't know that at the time. It was an awful surgery. I mean, it was 8 hours, and we didn't know if he was going to make it. And they actually said, there's a chance he may not survive this surgery. So we're in the Anderson, and it's me and my mom, and we're down there, and of course, you pray with him before the deal, and just hugging him and kissing him. Of course, he goes on that deal on the other side of the doors, and you think, am I going to see my dad alive again? Well, he survives the surgery. And after a little bit, we get to go in and see, because he's in ICU recovery. He's got all those tubes, he's got this huge mask on, and I mean, it was ominous. But mom and I are walking in the room, and there's my dad. And you know what? His eyes were open. And he seemed to be alert. After all this surgery, I mean, he's just there in his eye. And I said, Dad, it's great to see you. And just, I mean, it was so good. And all of a sudden, he's trying to say something. He's trying to vocalize something, but nothing's coming out because he's got that mask. He had his tube in his mask and all that stuff. And I leaned down and said, what? And all of a sudden, I realized he's grabbing my hand because I'm right beside the bed and his hand's right there. He grabs my hand. And then after a while, I realize he puts his finger, he had big old fat fingers, a big old man, hard man. And he put his finger in the palm of my hand, and after a while I realized he just wrote the letter G on the palm of my hand. So I looked at him and said, G? And he blinked. Then he writes an R. Then he writes an E. He writes an A. He writes a T. F, U, L, grateful. Now, my dad never could spell. And sure enough, he misspelled grateful. But you know what? That's how a man, a Christian's supposed to live. Always rejoicing forevermore. Because that's our God. Would you pray with me to bow your heads just for a moment? We're going to have an invitation. It's where we just present Jesus as the Savior of the world because he is. He came to earth to live and to die. He died on a cross for our sins, for your sins, for my sins. Then he was buried. Then he rose again. And if you'll just confess your sins and confess Jesus as the Savior who will forgive you of your sins, you know what Jesus will do? He'll step out of heaven and step into your heart. He'll come into your life, forgive you of your sins, cleanse you, make you a brand new person in Christ. That's what the Bible says, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Everything becomes new. And he'll give you the gift of eternal life and start that process of making you in the man, the woman, the boy, the girl he created you to be. You know what? You can have that right now, just right where you are. You know what? Someone online, hey, you've had a journey of life through all of life, through everything, all these years, all these things. And the fact is, God has brought you wherever you are and whoever you are to this moment in time. You in this sanctuary, God has brought you here. It may be the last place you thought you would be, but God brought you here for a plan, for a reason, for a purpose. And the purpose is so you could meet Jesus face to face. And you know what? He loves you. He died for you. He wants to give you a whole new life. And all you have to do is say yes to Jesus. If you're watching online, all you have to do is just text Jesus to 747-88. 747-88. There might be a hand there. You can raise a hand. Just click that hand. Whatever it is. We got people who are so ready and willing to share with you what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If there's a man or woman in this room here, in this place, in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And our ministers are going to be here at the front, also up in the balcony. And if you can make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, if you know this is the reason why you came to this moment, I'm going to ask you in just a moment, when we stand and sing, and you stand up, I want you to just step out in the aisle and say, excuse me, they'll let you pass, and you just come down and just tell whoever greets you, I want to accept Jesus into my life. Others of us, you know what? Life has just been bitter. It's been hard. It's been difficult. It's been so tough. You know what? Gratitude changes everything. But there's a reason for the gratitude. It's because our God is so great. Maybe you just need to start over again. Just a new beginning. Christian life is a series of new beginnings. Why don't you come and just make a renewed commitment of your life to Christ and say, I want to do this thing right. There may be some who just, you need a church home. And the journey the Lord has brought you on in your life is to be here at such a moment in time, to be a member of this church and to serve Jesus by serving and making him known through this place. God, I ask that you would bless these moments. Bless this invitation. And may your will be done in our hearts and our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.